let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Online, thisweekinamerica.us. Investigation Discovery's hit series, Scene of the Crime with Tony Harris, back for a new season. Venturing deep into small-town America to reveal the deeper stories behind the crimes that shook communities, personal accounts from victims, even those accused, and reactions to the moments their lives turned upside down. Emmy Award winner Tony Harris is a news anchor, television correspondent, filmmaker. For over 30 years, he's reported on senseless and vicious acts of violence, a correspondent, anchor for local stations, syndication, networks, recently an anchor at Al Jazeera America. Prior to that, he anchored the flagship Al Jazeera NewsHour from Qatar, becoming the first African-American anchor to be based outside the U.S. for a global news network. Tony anchored CNN Newsroom with Tony Harris, was a member of the CNN teams that earned George Foster Peabody Awards for coverage of the British petroleum oil spill and Hurricane Katrina, an Alfred I. DuPont Award for coverage of the Southeast Asia tsunami, and now peeling back the layers of some of the country's most horrific acts of violence on Scene of the Crime with Tony Harris. Sundays, 10 Eastern, 9 Central on Investigation Discovery. And Tony is back with us on This Week in America. Tony, welcome back to the program.
Rick, do we have any time left for conversation? My goodness, that's a lot of stuff.
Well, it's your thrill. Career. I didn't even touch it all. I didn't make any of that stuff up. It actually happened in the life of Tony Harris. I feel like Tony Harris, this is your life. But the news. Thank you. It's great to have you back with us. I was looking forward to having a chance to talk about season two. And what's really interesting is Scene of the Crime is a unique show, isn't it? I mean, it brings a whole new perspective to true crime television. It's more than just a murder story.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that because we, you know, when we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do with this program, you know, there are really smart people in television, and you use the phrase, I mean, how is it different? You know, what makes it unique? And, you know, we're always sort of looking for that new approach, that different take on the true crime genre. And what we settled on is, you know, hopefully playing to my strengths. And one of the things after the years at CNN I didn't want to do again is I didn't want to spend a lot of time behind the desk. And then what happens? I go and I work for Al Jazeera. But, you know, the reality of that situation is that I was covering the biggest story on the planet at the time, which was the Arab Spring. And
yes.
So I was anchoring newscasts in the Middle East, and that was an amazing time. But I had longed to sort of get back into the field and talking to real people. And I got that opportunity with Discovery ID, and first with the Hate in America series. And then, as you mentioned, Scene of the Crime, and now we're into a second season of Scene of the Crime, and you know how tough it is to get a second season in television. So, you know, we're really lucky and blessed, and it's a tribute to the work of the team. We just wanted this show to be as immersive as possible. And so, for me, that meant, look, I got to go. I got to go to where the crimes happened to the extent I can. I need to walk the steps of the investigators who worked on the actual case. I need to spend as much time as I can with the families who have had their lives turned upside down. And we got a chance to do that with this show. And the first season was terrific in that respect. We were able to spend a week with the families and detectives and really sort of unravel the fight for justice. The second season, we've just ramped all of that up. I have firmly affixed my investigator hat. I am digging in to the extent I can to every document I can find on these murders. You know, we've traveled to small towns again from Navasota, Texas. We're in Spokane, which is a bigger small city. But we're in Kinston, North Carolina. And again, we're talking about crimes that upended these communities. And the time we've spent and with the families, I feel like I know the lives of the kids of these families.
We do too as we watch. And what sets this apart is the fact it's not just retelling a story. We really get to see, explore the communities and the lives of the people impacted by these tragic and often challenging events.
Well, it feels good to hear you say that, because that was clearly one of the goals. We set out to to make real connections with people. And look, they've made the most difficult decision, and that's to tell their stories to me. And you know, it's an odd thing. I got to tell you, Rick, these hours are beginning to feel more and more, and our showrunner sort of suggested this before I even thought of it, that these hours are the new way a lot of people can memorialize their and remember their loved ones.
Interesting.
Who have lost their lives in a really tragic way. So, yeah, we still have, you know, grave markers and headstones and those sort of things. But, you know, as kind of a visual record of their loved one's life and, yeah, their unfortunate demise, these hours have taken on kind of a special place and significance in the lives of these families. And I'm seeing that more and more as we tell these stories in the second season.
You know, and that wouldn't happen unless they felt comfortable with you. Talk about the approach to an interview. You were talking to people to bring up memories of the worst days of their lives. Talk about the approach you go in, because they're comfortable with you and they will share with you.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, as you look at the recipe for these shows and why these shows are successful, I mean, obviously, true crime is a genre that people can't seem to get enough of it. And, you know, we've got a 24/7 channel that's devoted to crime. We're producing 650 original hours a year. That's a huge lift, but we do it because the audience is demanding it. We've got other channels in the landscape who are flipping formats to take on true crime because it is absolutely the hottest genre. And I got to tell you, for me, my approach has always been to know as much as I can. There's a tricky balance here, to know as much as I can about a story and then, in an odd way, to still be surprised, right?
Yes, yes.
And I think that when you know as much as I like to know going into a story and you start asking questions, you are surprised oftentimes. You may think that you know where a story is going, and then you learn information, bits, pieces, details that take you in different directions that you didn't expect, and you're traveling down roads, whoa, I didn't see this coming. And that happened time and time again with the show. And I don't know, I'm a Baltimore kid, and there's not an aspect of crime that we cover in this show that I have not covered from an anchor desk, covered as a reporter, that hasn't been visited upon my family at some point. So my approach is to meet people where they live. It always has been my approach, and, you know, that's worked well for me, I think.
We're talking with Tony Harris, Scene of the Crime with Tony Harris. Tony, by the way, an Emmy Award-winning news anchor, filmmaker, investigative journalist. The new season on Investigation Discovery, Sundays 10 Eastern, 9 Central. Let's talk about the upcoming episode, which takes place in a small East Texas town. Talk about this, because it's interesting. You end up going to a prison to actually talk with the person who was accused and convicted of this crime.
Rick, this is you end up saying this a lot when you are in the true crime space. This is really a heartbreaking story. This is a story about a guy, Lonnie Turner Sr., who we literally need more of in the country today. We need more Lonnie Turner Sr.'s on the planet right now. This is a guy who was an absolute icon of his community. He was the owner of a funeral home. He was an African-American man, and he owned the African-American funeral home in that small town, right? But this is a guy, through the force of his personality, the strength of his character, was able to make connections out the community of Navasota. He was beloved by everyone, white, black. When you hear the editor of the local newspaper, who I interviewed for this week's episode, talk about Lonnie Turner Sr., it's just heartbreaking. This guy was everything you want in a community leader. And we've got such a vacuum of leadership in this country. So for this guy to be killed in the way that he was, in his own home, as he was sleeping, it's just devastating. And then when we peel back the layers and you take a look at the amazing investigative work done by the detectives that worked this case, the DA that prosecuted this case, the twists and turns, the rabbit holes they were sent down, the number of people they had to interview to get to the bottom of this case. One of the things I'm proudest of is that we highlight the amazing work of detectives in this the second season, even more so, if I can say that, than the first season. We really dig in with these detectives, and they're terrific. And so this is a particularly moving episode. It touches me personally because as a black man, I just see just a dearth of real black leadership in the country, and Lonnie Turner Sr. was one of those guys that we need more of today.
As you're getting into the story, there are answers you're not getting. You want to hear more. And like I say, you go to the prison to actually confront the person who was there. Now, talk about how you prepare for that. It's not like talking to a victim. Here's somebody that's probably going to dance around and maybe not give you direct answers. How do you prepare to talk to someone who's in prison, convicted of a horrific crime?
Here's what you have to do. And everyone has a different approach, I'm sure, but I try to connect with their humanity. I try to, if it's there, if it's there.
Yes.
What I attempt to do is to connect to their humanity. And you're talking about J.D. White, and I go and I interview J.D. White in prison in Texas. And he's still a young man. He committed this crime when he was a young man. He is still a young man. And I literally just try to walk him through his life and how his life went off track and how it is he came to victimize a man who cared for him, who loved him, who tried to help him, who gave him work. How do you victimize this man? And while it's difficult and it's tricky and it's hard and he wants to stay with his story, I think at the end of that, what I think you see is that on some level, on some very slim level, I'm able to connect to his humanity and maybe revisit what was human in him at one point and what his life was like before he turned to crime.
It's where we started talking about it's not just a murder show, a murder series. You get into a number of issues, and I'm really looking forward to hearing that interview. And it sounds like he learned something about himself probably. It was like a psychiatric visit when he's sitting there with you and going back and exploring his life. Time goes by too quickly. A couple minutes left in the program. We first talked a few years ago when you were doing the Hate in America series. And I'm thinking back on that. And I'm thinking where we are now. Have we made any progress?
Oh, Rick, oh my God, I remember that conversation so vividly. And what I remember telling you is that, I had that opportunity, and such is the case with Seeing the Crime, of going into small towns, and with the Hate in America show, it was bigger cities as well. And the front row seat it gave me to all of the angst, the anxiety, the anger that was in America. And all I can tell you is, it's what we talked about then, times 10, times 20. I mean, the anger, the resentment, the grievances that are being expressed right now from Democrats, from Republicans, being expressed through President Trump right now. I'm not surprised. I remember talking to Heidi Byrick from the Southern Poverty Law Center for the Hate in America series, and I remember her so vividly telling me that it's not going to get better, Tony. It's going to get worse. And, we're at this place now where everyone feels they've got a grievance and they need to shout it from the mountaintop. And people are just talking past each other.
Yes.
And that's really distressing to me, because my work is all about sitting down and trying to find connective tissue with people. And so when I'm trying to do what I feel is like my calling, my life work, what I'm getting back is just anger and rage and frustration. And I'm trying to figure out ways to work people past that and figure out a way to bring folks together. And I know that sounds trite, but
I wish you the best of luck. This is just, it's amazing. I was thinking for a while, we've come so far. And then you look at it now. In fact, it's interesting as people choose news sources now. I'm convinced they're not looking for information. They're looking for affirmation. They will watch or listen to whatever source will reinforce what they're saying.
You got it. That's it. And, you know, I just hope we can get to a place. And it's cyclical. I understand that. I've been doing it long enough to know that these things work in cycles. We'll find a place. There'll be something that brings us together. There'll be an episode. Hopefully it's not a horrific episode. Hopefully it's not another 9/11 type event. But there'll be an event that provides an opportunity for us to start to stitch ourselves together again as a nation. We're just not there yet.
I am out of time. In fact, I'm over time. It happens all the time when we're talking with Tony. Scene of the Crime with Tony Harris. You'll see it on Investigation Discovery. It's Season 2, Sundays 10 Eastern, 9 Central. Tony, it is always a pleasure. We need to do this again. Thank you so much for coming back on the program.
Rick, you are terrific. Thank you for being so well prepared all the time. Thanks for asking such wonderful questions and have me back anytime. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.